Welcome to another week of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, joined once again, always, the permanent co-host, one Mr. Cody Halsey. How are you doing, sir?
Hydrated. I'm so good.
Yeah, I didn't mean to rush you as you were chugging from that 82-ounce bottle of water you got sitting right there.
64-ounce. 64.
Okay.
It's a 64. This is like some sort of Nike water apparatus.
Is it actually water in there?
It is. It is actually water. I'm trying to drink two of these a day.
Wow. And your pee ratio to time spent?
Well, I started it. I came up with this idea about an hour ago, so we'll find out as time passes.
Two of these a day started 6 p.m. Eastern or Central Standard Time.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I like the trend. No. But this week, we know that the playoffs are starting this weekend. We have had a couple play-ins. We have had the Western Conference the other night. Tonight, the Eastern Conference is going on right now. So I don't know if we'll sit here and talk about the Lakers' win over the Pelicans to face a rematch against the Nuggets in round one, or if we'll dogpile like everyone else on the Warriors situation getting dominated by the Sacramento Kings. But what we are going to talk about today is we've got to recap our preseason regular season wins, our over-unders pod. This is a, 10-month pod in the making? So part one was back in June, July, something like that. And so, now we are here. Now we are here mid-April to give you the results of those over-unders. And let's just say, one of us has a lot to defend. The other should probably do this full time for a living. And then the last thing we're going to do is we're going to pick two series of the first round series that two series each that we are most interested and excited to watch and why. So usually in the past, we had done a complete playoff breakdown of the entire first round. We're not going to do that. We're not going to spend an hour and a half here. But we are going to talk about some series that we are interested to watch for this first round. So that's kind of how the episode is going to go today. Before we do get into our over-under stuff, do you want to dogpile on the Golden State Warriors and the death of a dynasty?
You know, if my first instinct is yes. It's so fun that they finally like are done. But at the same time, I kind of had the same feeling that I had when Kobe Bryant played his last game. It's just like times are a changing. It's just another reminder that like as much as it is fun to have like new, it's always fun to have new players and stuff like that. But like, you know, you get to a point where it's like.
Father Time is undefeated.
Exactly. You missed him. Like, you know, you missed Tim Duncan and those and Kevin Garnett and like seeing those guys play and like come out and stuff like that. And like watching them lose last night, you know, was kind of bittersweet for me. And that it was great that they're not, you know, perennially in the finals, that we get to see something different. But also, I was kind of like, you know, I'm going to miss Steph and the boys.
It's sad. I mean, we expect them to probably be still in the play-in area, but I think the general consensus is that the days of them being a top seed and a real threat to win the championship, those times are probably long gone now. And we've been kind of calling about for it since, you know, their last championship. We had said, you know, 2 years ago that was the makeup one for the Toronto Raptors injury one.
Well, let's
they're
see.
Done. They're not getting
Let's
another.
Let's see
one.
How the do the over unders play out that way for us.
We'll get there.
Okay.
I'll just say that the Warriors' thoughts preseason did not go as planned, and I think I actually kind of Jedi mind tricked you into joining my side when you vehemently wanted the opposite side. So you can probably guess where that one goes, but we've got 24 others that were generally a disaster for one of us. And the reason is only 24 because at the time there were five teams that were in flux with the trade situation with Dame and it affected the totals for the 76ers, the Heat, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Clippers, and the Nets. So we didn't have current regular season lines out for that for total wins. So we just kind of left them alone. We kind of guessed where they might be, but we didn't actually make a prediction on those. So we're going to leave those five teams out. So we got 25 teams. So I don't know of a better way to do this. So it might seem kind of pretty boring to go through this, but let's just start at the top because I did this last summer. We went in order of the highest projected preseason total wins and just went down the list. So of course, last year, who do you think, if you remember, who was the number one team in the NBA projected highest wins? It was actually the Denver Nuggets. Their line by at the time that we did this episode was 54.5.
Did I take the over?
You had the over. I had the under. So cash that as a loss for me. You probably can see where this is heading. So immediately
guessed where this is heading.
1-0 for Cody, 0-1 for Ryan. Now a little faster. The Celtics were second at 53.5 wins. That was an easy over. You called that over. I called under. The Milwaukee Bucks, 52.5. You said under. I said over. And the Bucks, I believe, won 49 games. So you got that one. Notice the trend. 3-0, 0-3. The Phoenix Suns, 51.5 was their preseason total over under. We both said over. The under cashed. Oh. I think they won 48 or 49 games. The Cleveland Cavaliers were 49.5. We were sold on them. We both said over, both wrong. It was under by two games, I believe. I think they won 40. They won 47 or 48, I think. The Golden State Warriors, let's just get this over with. They were the sixth highest preseason totals in wins projected at 49.5. We both said over. They won 46. So it's not like it was way off.
No,
but
it wasn't terrible.
Definite letdown from where their projection was. The Lakers, 48.5. We both said under. That cashed.
Yep.
The Grizzlies, 45.5. I wanted to say under, but couldn't do it. So I said over. You stuck to your guns, and you said under. So you cashed that one.
Interesting turn of phrase there.
The Dallas... Ooh. It took me a second to register. the Dallas Mavericks, 45.5. We both said the under. That was wrong. The New Orleans Pelicans, 43.5. We both agreed on under. That was wrong. The Sacramento Kings, 43.5. We both agreed on over. That was correct.
Nice.
The New York Knicks, 43.5 wins. We both said the over. That was correct.
50. Yep.
The Minnesota Timberwolves, 43.5. We both said under.
Oh.
Incorrect by 14 games.
Yeah.
Now the flip side of that, the Oklahoma City Thunder, 43.5. We both endorsed the over. So we get it back there. The Atlanta Hawks, 42.5 wins. We both slammed the under. That was an easy win. I didn't even have to look that one up. I knew it was right when I saw 42.5.
Yeah, it's 36.
The Chicago Bulls, 37.5. We both took the over. I think this is one where I convinced you to take the Bulls. And they went over by two games. 39 wins. The Toronto Raptors, 36.5. I couldn't talk you out of this one. I went under.
Yeah,
you
went
over.
I went over.
I got that one right. You obviously are wrong. The Orlando Magic, 35.5. We both said under. And it was very easy over. So that's not a good look for us. However, the Indiana Pacers, 36.5 wins. We both heavily endorsed the over. So that's a winner. The Utah Jazz, 35.5 wins. We both endorsed the under. Nice one there. The Charlotte Hornets, you said under. I said over. on 31 and a half wins for the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, they won 21 games, so look who's talking now.
The Houston Rockets, 31 and a half wins. We both took, or I'm sorry, I took the under. You slammed the over. What a 41. Slam by you. By
41 wins.
Yeah, 10 games. The San Antonio Spurs, I took the under 30 and a half wins. I took the under. You took the over. So I got that one from you.
The Detroit Pistons. Not my proudest moments.
Detroit Pistons. Don't beat yourself up too bad once we get to these final numbers. I know people are not counting anymore, so I'm going to give the final counting stats. The Detroit Pistons, 27 and a half games. Can you believe that people thought the Detroit Pistons were going to win 28 games? We certainly didn't, because we slammed the under. Easy win.
I hope that we weren't some of those people.
I wouldn't have said it if it was. The Washington Wizards, 24 and a half wins.
Under.
We both slammed the under. That was an easy cash.
Kyle Kuzma, quote of the year.
Jordan Poole, actually. Point, thank you.
It is just embarrassing.
It's just embarrassing. Just don't be that team, right, Kuzma? Yeah. The totals for this. So my record this season, now the 25 over-unders that we picked, 12 and 13.
Oh, slightly under 500.
Slightly. Just good enough to keep me on as head coach for a couple years until we show no improvement, and then they let me go.
But just bad enough to lose the mortgage to your house.
If you can see behind me, you see the movers taking away furniture.
Walking out with stuff. They're taking his high school things. They're taking his high school awards out.
No stone unturned. Cody with a record of 16 and 9.
Take that to
incredible.
Next year, we're taking this to the bank. And by the bank, I mean the casino.
I do think next year we need to pull some amount together, whether it's like $200 bucks, and just divide it among the 30 teams and agree, come to a consensus and see how we do over the season.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it'd be fun. $100 from each, you know, split whatever.
Just put it in, and we just keep on with it all year. We have the finger on the pulse.
We've got $10 on each team on their over-under. Yep. If we go 16-9, cool. We want to... $20 each. Oh, $30 each, but let's get into our two first round series that we're most looking forward to. Man, I can't get that out all of a sudden. Just reciting all those over-unders got me messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you start, Cody. What is the first series that you are looking forward the most to watch? Or some sort of matchup or style difference. What is the number one matchup that you're looking forward to watching?
The Dallas Mavericks versus the LA Clippers.
This is one where it's going to overlap. I thought we might overlap on one, and this was the one. Because this 100% is the number one series. This is 100% the best series. Now, you don't have to sell me on it. Now, sell the people on it.
Sell the people on it. I mean, like, you have Kawhi Leonard, board man, gets paid. We got Paul George.
Playing.
Yeah, if he's playing. But that's like part of the intrigue of it. You never know who's going to be playing. You never know who's not going to be playing. It's just like the Clippers are a mystery roster wise. And every night, you know, you're going to get Luka and Kyrie, who are playing some of the best basketball that they've played in their careers. And like, Kyrie is like distraction free right now, which is a great thing for the Mavericks. He's playing great basketball. Like, we've talked about the Mavericks like the last 3 weeks of the show. So I think that just like the Mavericks are kind of on my radar right now. I'm kind of, you know, enamored by them. And the Clippers, like Paul George, like you got Paul George and you got Kawhi Leonard. And if those guys are both playing, like, it's going to be a freaking series, man. That's offense versus defense right there, basically. the Mavericks have a super high powered offense with Kyrie and Luka, and then the Clippers are going to have like be playing hard nosed defense with Kawhi and Paul George out there trying to play defense on, you know, Luka and Kyrie. It's going to be, it's like, it's everything that you want. Like, if it's just exactly what you want, it's strength against strength.
Yes. What do you think about the idea of like, hey, the Mavericks defense isn't very good? I mean, that's what you hear a lot of, right? But right. You forget James Harden is on the other side of that coin where he's having exactly. A guard. You know, he's not going to be guarding Luke or Kyrie. He's obviously going to be guarding.
There's a matador on the other. Yeah, but all you got to do is you just got to run like four or five switches and then screens, and eventually, like they can't fight through all of them.
Yeah, he's at some point going to be switched onto one of Luke and Kyrie. They're going to hunt him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're going to hunt. He's going to eventually be he's going to be the Rudy Gobert of this series.
Oh, an unplayable player? You think he gets kind of benched if it's a tie it's 2-2 or they're down 3-2?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, if he's getting, if it's that bad that he's getting, like, hunted and torched on defense over and over and over again to the point where, like, it's embarrassing, like, yeah, maybe. I mean, it's the same thing that happened to Rudy Gobert. He just kept getting, like, literally the Clippers did it to him.
Yes.
So everybody's done it. James Harden provides a little more on offense, I would think. But the Clippers did it to him in like the most like they did it over and over and over again and like just beat the crap out of the Jazz. It was like what was that last game like 40 points or something like that.
Yeah, not to pour on Gobert a little bit, but I don't know. I think I'd want my defensive player of the year to be a guy that teams are afraid to go against. Like, nobody is afraid to go against this guy in the playoffs. So, my personal opinion about Defensive Player of the Year, like, maybe they should actually incite a little fear to not go at you and take advantage of you. We're not talking about the Timberwolves, although we might in a second. Who knows what my pick's going to be. What do you think about, like, do you think it is more of, who gets stops because no one can stop anybody? Or is it going to be more about late game execution? Do you think all these games are going to be close late and it comes down to that stop, or it's whoever misses the jumper first?
I think it's going to come down to the late games. I mean, I think there's probably going to be, I mean,
the scoring wise or the defensive side?
I think it'll be, I mean, I think it'll probably come down to honestly, who's more proficient on offense than anything.
Mm.
Because
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to which is Kawhi or Luka going to be the better guy in the series? That's what's going to come down to.
Mm, who's the best player in the series for you?
I mean, I think full strength based on what I know. I mean, like if without it, barring injury, I think it would still be Kawhi. I don't know why there would be any other reason for me, anything for me to believe otherwise. As far as like both ends of the court, like Luka's really very, very good offensively. But like on defense, I mean, he's James Harden.
True. Right.
He's hunting sweet tea instead of steals.
So we believe, you know, we've said it multiple times here talking about playoff matchups and just matchups in general. The team that has the best player typically advances. Doesn't mean it happens every time. And obviously you need help. Just ask Michael Jordan how his, you know, 80s Bulls were doing. So you think Kawhi is the best player in the series. Does that mean you also believe the Clippers are going to pull this series out?
Well, I said that with a caveat that at full strength, 100%, not barring injury.
Okay, so there's a caveat that is health dependent.
Yeah, his health, it is health dependent. Yeah, for sure. And the other thing too is that we also made the point that you have no idea who's playoffs. So they're probably putting their best foot forward. So you would think that Kawhi would play, but if he's not healthy playing, then it's definitely Luka. And I think the Mavericks win this series. I think it goes seven games though.
Okay. I think it goes seven games too. My statement is that Luka's the best player in the series and the Dallas Mavericks will win. I just think Luka's better than Kawhi at this point. I think Kawhi is a great player. Maybe it's more of a 1A, 1B thing. Now, if you said who's the second best guy in the series, if you take away Kawhi and Luka, the second best guy in this series is Paul George. Oh, it's Kyrie. Maybe we should talk about that more.
So I don't maybe necessarily
the top two
have
guys even themselves out. The second guys, Kyrie and Paul George, you like Kyrie more.
I just think that, like, for what I don't know, man. I just think Kyrie Irving has been playing really well. He's very skilled player.
Of all the years that we have been doing this, you could have given me, I don't even know the metric that you would possibly use. I would never in a million years thought that you would take Kyrie as a second best player in a series that not only includes Paul George. In the past, even if Paul George was even on the team, I would have thought you'd have picked somebody like six-man Russell Westbrook better than Kyrie. So this is quite a change. So you're a believer in the Mavs, but you still think full strength, full healthy.
This is
Clippers
definitely a recency bias. Better. Yeah, okay. I do. But this is definitely recency bias. But yeah, for sure.
Do you think the winner of this series is making the Western Conference Finals? Because they play the winner of the 1-8 next round.
Oh.
No. So you think it's the Thunder or whoever the 8 seed is, which we know is going to be between the Kings and the Pelicans.
Yep.
So you think yes or no?
No, I think that the winner of the series is going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay, I agree with you. I think they'll also be in the Western Conference Finals, whoever wins this. Now, it might just be one of those series where it's just so exhausting if it goes seven games like we think it is, and it's so mentally exhausting. Maybe they do struggle against the Thunder if the Thunder have a pretty simple and easy first-round series against either Kings and Pelicans. We know if the Pelicans wins, they're not going to have Zion, so who knows what's going to happen with that one. And the Kings, the Thunder just match up pretty well with the Kings. But I do think the winner of this series is going to Western Conference Finals. I think it's the Mavs. I'm very excited to watch it, though. I can't wait for it to start. Game one for it starts on Sunday at 2:30 Central Standard Time. So that will be appointment viewing. My series that I'm most looking forward to, I have two that I want to pick.
Yeah.
One is actually one that I think you'll be pretty bored by. And the other one is just laying up there on a platter for everybody, where everybody be like, okay, yeah, duh. So which one do I go with? I'm going to go with the yeah, duh. And then we already talked about this player a little bit. And that's the Timberwolves-Phoenix Suns matchup. That's 6-3. I love this matchup. The Suns just wore the Timberwolves out in the final regular game of the season when the Timberwolves are trying to go for that one seed. Now, the Timberwolves played terribly. Rudy Gobert had a good game, but the Phoenix Suns just absolutely torched them. I don't know if the Suns can win this series because that's expecting Bradley Beal to be available for at least six games, right? Like, I don't really envision anybody winning this 4-1. Most, it's 4-2. If there's an injury early to someone like Bradley Beal or Kevin Durant, I mean, if Kat re-injures something, that's the only way I can see this going five games. To me, this is at least a six-game series. And I think it is small guards, professional scores versus the opposite, huge optimal size and athleticism. What do you think about this series? Is this also on your list? Like, where does this rank? Would have this been your second pick, or is it like third or fourth?
This would not have been my second pick. This would have been probably like third or fourth.
What
to
do you
be
think
fair,
about this series?
The Western Conference series are all 1-4. I think this is going to be a really fun matchup to watch. It's going to be interesting to watch the offensive, like, you know, skill set that the Suns bring to the table versus, you know, like you said, the size and athleticism of the Timberwolves. Like, it's going to be really interesting to watch the matchups and just see how each team plans, you know, game plans for one another, especially over the course of that series. Cause, you know, like you said, it's going to be a longer series. It's not going to be super short. So it'll be fun to watch the different looks that each team gives each other on defense and offense too, just to see what those teams are going to throw at each other.
Now there's a lot of, well, I guess maybe not a lot of, but there's some people out there saying the Suns are going to win this series over the Timberwolves. Are you one of those people who agree with that? Or is it Anthony Edwards?
The Suns are going to win?
Yes. Or is it Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves for you?
I think it's Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves.
Interesting. So you think they just kind of...
I have
obviously
a firm
they outside them, but they're just more physical than them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think... I think this is something that I'm a firm believer in too. I think that we see it over and over again that like real success and like with the team comes from playing together and building a team over time. It's not just slapping parts together. I mean, I think we've seen over and over again throughout the years, plenty of examples of teams that just like, we got this guy and this guy and this guy real quick. Let's see what we can make happen. And it doesn't work out. It blows up in their face. Yeah. You know, and Kevin Durant has been, I mean, I don't think this is necessarily going to blow up in their face. Like, they're still in the playoffs and stuff like that. And, like, you know, people are unhappy and leaving and stuff like that, like it was with the Nets. But, like, I just don't think that, like, is, you know, Bradley Beal is Bradley Beal, whatever. Like, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are great. But, like, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker at this stage in their careers, like, are those two guys together enough to get you an NBA championship?
Interesting.
And I don't think that necessarily the Timberwolves have that either, but I think that the Timberwolves have organically grown that team together. Right. A lot of those guys have played together for a while. I mean, they've added Gobert into the mix and some other guys, but a lot of those guys are guys they've drafted and have had, you know, in-house for a really long time, played together for a while. Like, it's more like a cohesive unit. It feels like, you know, you have that chemistry and like actual team building versus a group of hired guns.
I actually agree with you. Even though the Suns, I think, could pose some interesting problems for the Timberwolves, I do think that the Timberwolves are just going to be able to outsize them and really pound the offensive glass where people get in foul trouble or they're just overwhelmed on second chance opportunities. And obviously the Timberwolves control their turnovers a little bit, which I wouldn't have said. The Phoenix Suns are like a defensive juggernaut. Right, where that kind of turnover game in the final game of the series, it could happen, obviously, for a game in the playoffs, but I would say it was definitely more of an outlier. I wouldn't expect, you know, 20-something turnovers from Timberwolves every game of this series. If it happens every game of the series, then obviously the Phoenix Suns are going to win this. But the thing that I'm kind of looking for, if the Suns are going to pull this off, I do think there's two main things that you're going to have to look for. One is obviously, can they keep the Minnesota Timberwolves' offensive rebounds down? And the second thing is Yusuf Nurkic, his assist numbers. If Nurkic is getting 7 to 8 assists per game in this series, I could very easily see this Phoenix Suns team being close at least or pulling it off, because that just means he's setting all those down screens. They're making all those rub shots. All the stuff he does from the middle of the post, passing everybody on curls and down screens and picks and all that kind of stuff. So I think those are kind of two indicators. You have to look at the offensive rebound numbers for the Timberwolves. If it's not overwhelming, then look at Nurkic's assist line. If he had a high assist number from his normal, like 4 or 5 that he has typically, I think, for this season, if it's at 8 or 9, I think the Timberwolves might be in a little trouble here. But I think the Timberwolves have enough size. Not expecting Bradley Beal to make it all 6 games. We're fingers crossed that KD makes it all 6 games. And kind of the, you know, we called out the weak fashion, the way this team was built, thrown together around the other three, like kind of you said at the beginning, that catches up to them. So which kind of leads me to my final question before we get to your final series that you like. Biggest disaster, or can you pick between the two? If the Suns lose, this Golden State Warriors year and performance, or the Phoenix Suns year and performance?
I would definitely say that it's probably the Suns.
Okay.
I think there's more expected of the Suns. I mean, like, There's all this hype. You know, they have that owner who's like swinging his Johnson around, bringing in all these players and stuff like that, going into the luxury tax and all that stuff, like, which is great. I mean, it's fine. I'm not like saying anything bad about it. Like,
it's better cool. than Sarver, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's so tight, he whistles when he walks or something like that.
Yeah, something like, yeah. I mean,
I can't remember exactly what it was.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how
it
that
squeaks.
Would work.
I think it squeaks. Yeah, he squeaks when he walks.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Not whistles when he walks. Ooh.
Not whistle. Like, I mean, anybody can whistle while they walk. It doesn't matter. Walk around and whistle if you want. That was what I was trying to figure out. I was like, why would he be whistling so much? But, you know, sometimes you live and you learn.
So you had a new owner swinging his, like you said, Johnson around. And
absolutely.
The stars don't play together, and you lose in the first round to Timberwolves in five or six
absolutely.
Games.
It just like it. I feel like it feels worse because like the Warriors were like, you know, they're like your old dog that you're like, oh, well, now they can't get up the stairs, like so this is the floor they live on now. You know what I mean? You're like, well, until we get that lift installed, like you just gotta stay down here. Or, like you're gonna have to slowly work your way up there, but it's not going to be an easy climb. Like with the Suns, it's like you guys don't even need the stairs. You're just jumping right up here. You guys are so powerful, and it's just, I don't know. I just feel like it's just expected that the Warriors are going to decline over time. They've been running back the same team for 11 years or whatever.
And
with the Suns, they just put this team together. So it's like, this is the brand new shiny car. And like, if it doesn't drive right, then that's pretty disappointing. You know,
you got the brand new shiny car and you found out that it's been through three collisions and it's rusted out. It was in a flood.
you actually also, you also found out that you're blind because when you bought it, you didn't see any of these things.
Covered it up with upholstery. And
yeah.
The shiny new coat of paint. Your final one, I gave the two.
Spray paint.
One we agreed on, obviously. What's the final series that you're looking forward to the most?
My final series that I'm looking forward to the most is the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. And the reason it has nothing to do with basketball. It is because this season or this series will either be good or it will be comical. It will either be fun to watch or the Nuggets will beat the brakes off of the Lakers so bad that it will be hilarious to watch.
Which one do you lean to?
I kind of just lean towards, you know, we said at the beginning of the podcast, Father Time is undefeated. Like, I kind of lean towards it being comical. Because
comical,
there's
you said?
Yeah, comic. Yeah. Like, comically bad, the Nuggets just beating the absolute out of the Lakers. Because right before we got on here, I was just like scrolling through Instagram or whatever, just kind of wasting a little bit of time before we started this. And I saw that there's Anthony Davis had this quote or whatever that, like, yeah, they were like talk. There was just a lot of talk or whatever, like over the summer, but like me and LeBron have had some conversations. Okay. Me and Ryan have had some conversations. That doesn't mean we can beat the Nuggets now.
Yeah. We figured it out.
Yeah. You guys, you're not like that does just because you guys talked about it doesn't mean that you like, okay, we did the jigsaw puzzle and now we know the secret. Like, if that is what happens in the series and it's a good series and it goes to and it ends up being like that, great. I will eat my words on this podcast. But when the Nuggets win 4-0, I'm going to laugh really, really hard at like just like how silly it is when people say things like that and then immediately get like kicked in the teeth because you're the fucking 8 seed.
My indicator on what this is going to be is what happens game one. We know LeBron's MO. Like, if you're gambling, I think the line is 6.5, 7.5 maybe for the Nuggets. Take the Lakers to cover. And then on the opposite side, take the Nuggets to win by like 15 or 16 plus, if not. I mean, that's a wide range, but you'll get a nice plus number at the Nuggets, like a adjusted spread of 14 and a half or 15 and a half. Like, that's probably a okay plus number. LeBron's MO the past couple of years has been all out assault game one. Like, he has stolen game one in most of those series. If they don't steal game one, they're rolling over the first two, and then they're going all out game three. So if they don't win game one, and if it's close, I think the Nuggets roll, because then they'll get moving. But like game one, game three, it's the whole series right there is game one and game three. Yep. If LeBron can come in and steal game one against Denver, game on, right? Now, it might kick the Nuggets butt in gear anyways, and they win the next four. They're certainly that much better than them. But LeBron has been, the past couple of years, a just do whatever he can to steal game one. We've seen it all the way back 8 years ago when he was with the Cavaliers playing against the Warriors in the finals, outmatched. Like, he did whatever he can to win, he could to win game one.
Yep.
And it just did not break his way. I can't remember if they lost in regular time or it was overtime. But
that, it was overtime, because that was the one where JR didn't know what the score was.
That was the JR Smith game. Right. Like, one of the best single game playoff performances ever.
I've never, always, it was incredible.
It's always games won for LeBron when he's an underdog. And so expect that kind of effort game one in this series. If the Nuggets roll him in game one, this is going to be four games. Like, it's a sweep.
Yep.
So I'm getting the indication for this series mainly from game one. Then it's game three for me.
The 76ers are up three with 36 seconds left.
Are they really? I know at they one are. Point when we started, the Heat were up at half by like 14 points.
Yeah. It was
so
not
they have
close.
Come back. So any other thoughts you have to go? We can wrap this up and finish that final minute here.
Wait, hold
Did
on.
Did we go long enough about the Lakers and Nuggets? Like, what is a key factor? Does Jokic just dominate? Is Jamal Murray, they've been resting for a little while, he's probably fine. They did this last year to end the season, but front one through three seed were imbalanced this time, so they couldn't really give the Jokic the rest that they'd like to.
Right.
Do we see a more tired Jokic going up against AD? Which, I'm not saying that AD's the pillar of sustainability and health.
Right.
But he has been the past playoffs and or at least last year's playoffs and this season. So what do you think about all that? Is there anything to read through the lines with that?
I don't think there's really much that I would be worried about there with Jokic. Jokic is pretty durable. I mean, he might be tired, but you still get a lot of rest going into the playoffs and stuff like that. The Lakers had to play an extra game before they even get there. Denver has the home court advantage, which is probably the only actual home court advantage in the NBA, right?
Right.
Like being, you know, just being up as high as they are.
Yep.
So other than that, I mean, like, the Nuggets are just a solid, complete team. Like, they don't have a lot of holes. Like, they're pretty good. So, I mean, the Lakers, you know, we could talk ad nauseum about the holes that they have, but, I mean, they haven't been like terrible recently. Yeah. They've been pretty good. So I think, you know, like I said, it'll be one of two things. The Nuggets will either just demolish them and dominate from minute one, quarter one to game four, quarter four, or it'll be a battle back and forth for at least a few games. So I think that, like you said, watch game one for LeBron, and then from there, you'll have a pretty good idea of how the series is going to go.
Yeah, I agree. The other one before, I'm just going to mention it. The one that was the wild card that I almost mentioned was Cavs Magic. I'm oddly interested by the terribleness of that series just to see what happens. It won't be great visual entertainment, but it'll be plenty of meme potential in that series, I think. Anything you need to plug before we go? I said it would be short and sweet. Probably went about 40 minutes again, like we typically do.
Yeah, no, I don't have. I don't, I don't really, I mean, 40, this is short and sweet for us. Sometimes we go like, we used to go like an hour, 2 hours sometimes. No, I don't have anything to, I don't ever really have anything, man. I think that's it. That's all for me. Just drink a lot of water, guys.
Drink a lot of water. Start at 6 p.m. Central.
Yeah. 64 ounces twice a day, 128 ounces from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
No exercise, just water.
That was the sound of me drinking water.
Thanks for tuning in for this week of free basketball. Next week,
ASMR,
I don't know
stream.
If we'll be talking. Huh?
I said we're doing an ASMR. We're doing an ASMR pod next week.
It's just Cody drinking water for 30 minutes. Now next week, I don't know if we'll be talking about playoffs. Maybe a little update, but we're planning on having a special guest on to talk all about the Grizzly season, maybe mostly about the off season and maybe some fun conspiracy theories that I might come up with, some hot takes maybe. We're going to be joined by Grizz 901s. You're familiar with him. Daniel Greer will be here next week with us. It'll be the first time that Daniel and Cody have been together on a podcast in...
Since we did the live show.
2 years? Oh, yeah, we did do the live show. I forgot about that. So it's only been a few months. I forgot about that. So it's the second time in 2 years that Cody and Daniel will be on together. So that should be a lot of fun. So make sure you're tuning into that for next week. Hope everybody enjoys this first week of the NBA playoffs. Don't lose too much money. If you do, make sure you don't lease all of your furniture.
Yeah, and don't bet on Jontay Porter because he got banned.